can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
I am a weird combo of fantastic and blah.
Do tell. You do go on.
I don't know why. Like, I feel really great today. I'm not sure what happened, but I feel good. I had real therapy yesterday and had a couple things that made me go, oh, wow. So I don't know if that did it. But I also was a weird therapist at work for like four different people today. And
oh, my God.
It was so weird. I cannot get over how many people came to my office and talked to me about personal things. But then
like my nightmare.
Well, my office neighbor, she's currently in school for psychology, which is funny because she's in IT like me. So I'm like, what a weird change. But it made me feel really good because after one of them came by, literally cried about an issue she was having with work. Anyways, my neighbor came over after that and she goes, I want you to know that I'm in school for psychology and I actually feel like I learned from you. Because she's like, you do such a good job about when people are talking to you, you kind of give a helpful example or a relation, but then she's like, but then you're so good at bringing it back to them to reflect inside what's important to them. And I was like, I almost cried because I was like, I don't think you know how much that meant to me. Because I'm like, I always worry that I'm just being such a blowhard. And that people are like, oh my God, he's such a crock of shit. But then they come and talk to me. So I guess I shouldn't really think that. But anyway, so that felt good. But where I'm feeling blah is this was brought up during therapy. God, I hope nobody from work listens to this. This job just mentally drains me so much. Because I've learned I am not a corporate boy. I guess, if you offer the freedom of letting me do my work at my own autonomous way and kind of with my own schedule. But the moment you micromanage everything, shove it into this time frame that you expect to see me there all the time, I could sit there all day playing on my phone, never be noticed, but be praised for showing up for my hours.
That is
and it just it has eaten away at me for so many years, and it's just finally just like I'm to the point, well, I'm not just finally, I've been here a while, but it's just constantly this realization that I'm like, you can't live like this forever when you're not built this way. And it just, there's so much I want to do outside of here. This 40 hours a week drains me. So then what happens is, which I had this discussion with another friend today, as I have my time off, so my Friday afternoons, my Saturdays and Sundays, I'm not productive on other things that I should be productive on because I'm so focused on squeezing out as much happiness and stretching out my time to feel like I'm getting the most out of it by doing nothing because that makes it slower.
Yep.
I don't get real things done because if I do productive things, it makes the weekend fly by too fast. And so it's this weird rebellion that I'm having. And I can't succeed anywhere else because I'm trying so hard to feel in control of my life.
You picked a weirdly apropos thing to talk about because I'm feeling that exact same way right now. Like this whole day, I've been thinking about how my downtime is... I feel like anything that is not me sitting around and doing nothing is eating into me time.
Yeah.
And I do it all the time. So, and I've been in this weird depressed place because I haven't been doing things like working out and I haven't been doing things like writing and I haven't been doing constructive things around the house. And every time I think about it, I get overwhelmed. Because yeah. I think about all of it at once.
Yeah.
But then there's this part of me that is fighting back. That's like, fuck it. Like, you deserve to sit around and, like, relax. And that's not untrue. But it's also making me, like, incredibly unhappy sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I have been... I like... my job in the capacity that, like what you said, I don't really get much oversight. Like, I kind of get to do my job on my terms, and that is great. However, I also don't get paid very well. Not like, it's not bad. It's not bad money. It's just not like, anytime I'm expected to have to do any sort of data analytics, I get very frustrated because I'm not paid like a data analyst. I'm just not paid that well.
Right.
And I should be getting paid extra for those types of things because those have become not really an expectation of my job, but in a way they are because yeah. I've been like, anytime there's something big that pops up, my boss asks me for those things. Like just a day or two ago, he asked for some converted weights on some like things that we removed from the system. And it's information that is available. And I know how to pull it pretty easily at this point. But like, if you had asked somebody in my position who came in sight unseen, who'd been here for maybe 2 years, who wasn't me to do that, they would have taken hours, if not a day or two, to do exactly that. It took me like 20 minutes because I know where to look for the data and I know how to manipulate the data so I can get exactly what he's asking for quickly. And that's what data analytics is. It's things like that where you, when those expectations pop up, I'm like, I mean, yes, I can do it because I'm capable of doing it and I know how to do it, but I'm not being paid to do it.
Those are things that I've gotten really good about being like, yeah, I can do that. You'll have to give me a while. And I drag it out on purpose because I'm like, I don't want you to think that I can just jump on this and do it without like, if you think I'm going to be that fast and get you all these perfect results that quickly, that's not what I'm paid for.
Mm.
And so I'm not going to give you results quickly.
Yeah. And I think I like my boss, and I think that's where I'm making a mistake, is that I do like my boss.
I totally get that,
and
though.
I don't mind helping him when he, because he doesn't ask for that stuff a lot.
Right.
It's not like he's, you know, asking for spur of the moment things. And if he asks me for something that I know is going to take some time, I'll tell him, like, look, it's going to take me like 3, 4, or 5 days to do this because I have regular work I have to do too. And he's like, if I know it's going to take me a good amount of time, I will ask him, like, hey, when do you need this by? Like, what is the time frame you're looking at? And I've gotten really good about asking those questions for the most part, unless I know it's just going to be something I can knock out real fast.
And I'm always real bad about being like, when do you need it by? And they'll be like, this. And I was like, how about this? And I always choose a later time because for me, it's a control thing. I'm like, nope, you're not getting it that quick.
Well, and he never asked for it in a time frame that feels unreasonable.
Nope.
And like this thing he asked me for recently wasn't anything. It was something I've done a million times, and I can do it so fast because I know exactly where the data's at, and I know exactly what data I need to pull, and I know exactly how to manipulate it because I've done it a million times.
Yeah.
And so in my head, I was like, oh yeah, I can just do that real fast. It's not going to take me very long. And I just wasn't busy.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind, but it worries me that you're right. Like there is, I think I'm setting myself up for failure in a way because I do work fast and the people pleaser in me likes to do that. And it gives me that like, oh yeah, look at how good I am.
And I totally get that. It's the thought of being very, you are impressing yourself and you're impressing them, and doing that makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've come across this situation where I'm like, I'm not here to please you, really. I'm here to just do this job. And the more I set boundaries, the more you respect me.
And I noticed that too. And so I do that with a lot of people, and I do it with my boss too. And like, if I know something is going to be an unreasonable time frame, I'll tell him. And he's not ever been pushy about it. Like it's never been to the point that I think that's part of the reason I'm comfortable doing it. It's because my experience with him leads me to believe that he's not going to ask me for something unreasonable. Or if I tell him that it is unreasonable, he's not going to push on it unless it's something hyper important or something.
Yeah.
And even if that were the case, I know because he's done this before where like he's asked me to get something for him. And if the situation is like, we need it quickly and I'm the only one who really knows how to get it, then he will ask what he can take off of my plate to help.
That's good.
And so,
I mean, that's a good boss in a sense.
Yeah. And he does, and I'm always like, yeah, I don't think you really need to take it out of my plate. I think I can probably still do it because most of the time I can do my job in like 2 hours.
Always pass off something because for some reason it's a power play. It is making them aware that what you're doing is adding something to my plate that is not normally a part of my plate. And so in exchange, you're going to do this. And that's, I don't know why, but that's how I started handling things. And it's built this weird, weird boundary respect with my managers.
Yeah. And I have noticed with other people, because I do keep really strict boundaries with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Specifically because I don't ever want to fall into that trap again. And like, so I deal mostly, I'm support staff for one of our plants, and I keep a very firm, like, if I have questions, I'm going to ask, and then I'm going to expect you to respond. And then if you do not respond, I'm going to continue to ask and escalate, because I don't ever want it to get to the point that I'm not asking you to even respect me necessarily. I just want you to do what I'm asking you to do.
Yeah.
I don't need you to respect me in that capacity because I'm just support staff.
Yeah.
But like, I also make sure that I guard my time in the right ways. And so if a request comes to my desk and it's not important, I'm not going to touch it until I get to it. And if somebody pings me about it, I'll ask, how important is this? Because if it's not dire straits, I've got work to do, even if I don't have work to do. Because I learned that in my last job. Because
I always have work to do.
Exactly. I was like, you need to understand that my time is valuable to me, even if it's me not doing anything. Did you do a little reaction?
Every time my computer updates, it does that. And I'm just like, God damn it, quit. And I forget how to turn it off every single fucking time. I'll figure it out later. You may see more thumbs ups.
But that's fine. But I think that's really important to learn, that you need to be able to guard your time even when you're not doing anything.
Yeah. One of the prime examples is somebody that talked to me today was upset because they feel pressured to always perform, even on weekends. Turn off my team so I don't get messages, and I still got a text saying, can I resolve this? Nope. And she's like, a lot of times I'll work Saturday and Sundays, not full days, but I'll be working in the mornings and stuff. She's like, sometimes I want to sleep in. And I was like, I want you to know something. They have never texted me or messaged me with an expectation on any weekend to do it. And I said, and that is because I have set a very strong boundary and they're aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, nothing has to be done on a weekend unless me not doing something makes the company collapse.
That you better be asking me for something. The business better be in danger of killing. It better be to the point that whatever is happening is going to cost people jobs.
Yeah. I said, if people are losing work, if finances are being absolutely depleted because I need to do something, that's a story that I will jump in on. I said, otherwise,
that's
everything,
important.
When you stop and evaluate it, everything can wait until Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a conversation
I've also had with my boss.
I mean, if you're in charge of a system that goes down, I can slightly understand that one more depending on the system. So I kind of was just like, I want you to take some time to reflect and see what your personal time is worth to you. I was like, how much do you value your time outside of work? And I said, I value mine extraordinarily high. I said, one, I run a company outside of this. I have more than one business technically outside of this with the podcasts. I said, I also have nobody that maintains my life around me. So I have pets. I have all this stuff. And I said, all of my time for me is highly valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to have to justify why I need to give up additional time that's not written in my salary for you.
Yep.
And I sat there and went, for a company that is making money for a billionaire and their family.
Yep. If it is like, about profitability and it's just about putting more money in the shareholders' pockets, I don't give a shit. I do not care.
I was like, if that's just speeding people up so that way they can be more efficient so these people can make more money, I'm like, that's not a big deal. They hire me because society requires us to work. And so I'm working because I have to work. And because at the time, I've never started my own business, but I'm hoping that one day I can grow into my own business so I can hire people that are very happy and valued.
Go ahead.
Well, because if I'm being successful with my own business because of other people working for them, working for me, I need them to feel absolutely valued and happy and wanting to work for me, not to make me rich, but to literally because they love their job and they feel like they're getting compensated properly and valued for it. That is so big for me.
I totally agree. And it's things like that that really tell me the mirth of a company. And so like the business I work for now, I really like my boss. I'm not going to be staying there long term. I just can't. I can't do it because they're not going to pay me what I'm worth. And that's not to say they're not compensating me like appropriately for the things that I'm supposed to do. But It's things like my coworker who does the exact same job I do, who's been with the business for, I think, 11 years now, makes maybe 60, 70 cents more than I do per hour if you break it out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Because we talk about it. And I'm just like, dude, that's No, you need to be paid more. You just need to be paid more because you've been here for so long. It's almost like a slap in the face. It's like a, well, then go somewhere else. And honestly, you should, because there are plenty of things that you have designed specifically for this position that I don't think anybody else would know how to use except for me. And I'll just act like I don't, because I'll fucking lie. I will 100%. If I'm feeling petty, I will just flat out act like I don't know the answer.
And I feel petty a lot in business. It's so wild to me how I went to college for business management and I minored in like business leadership. So management as managers, supervisors,
right,
things like that.
Right.
That part of my degree made me much more cynical to corporate life than I ever anticipated. And it's because I learned so much about basically how business is out to cut as many corners as they can to save money. And, yep. and it's like stuff you know, but when you start seeing it in a grander scale, you're like, oh, and it really just opens your eyes.
I think that was also the sort of the impetus behind me leaving Verizon, was I learned so much about servant leadership and leadership versus management, and spending so much time training on it and learning and implementing with my teams, that whenever I had bad bosses, I immediately was like, you shouldn't be here because you are not doing anything the way that this business has trained us to do it. And it became sort of a open secret that unless you were a frontline employee, you weren't going to get treated well by your managers. Like, you were not going to have servant leaders. They were going to micromanage you. And that was how it worked. I don't know what it looks like today, obviously, because fuck that. I would never go back. I'd rather just splatter myself on the concrete. But it's just, yeah. That really burned me out really hard, because I finally got to a place where I was in charge of business and I was in charge of people. I had direct reports. I was reporting KPIs. I was responsible for those KPIs, and I had to answer for those KPIs, and I had to answer at a corporate level and a C-level executives. And so you are telling me to treat my team one way while you are all not treating me anywhere close to that.
Now, that is a perfect segment into the next part I wanted to talk about, which is the corporate life of culture, and how it amazes me how a company is pushing this culture of open, clear, separate realities and all of these things about training them to understand that you're working with different personalities. And then they push it all down on the lower end employees. And my favorite part is how what happens is these corporations bear the burden of changing the culture on the low end employees. It is never the higher ones that feel they need to make the change. But I'm like, you are the reason we need the change, and you are the reflection we need of it. But it never happens. You come in and you harp on us to follow these culture things, but you don't use them. And that is so common in managers. They think, oh, if I repeat it, then I'm performing the act. And I'm like, no, you're not.
No. And I that was really what led me to leave Verizon, was just a series of bad leadership. It was just one really bad leader to another really bad leader, and who worked for a bad leader who also worked for a bad leader. And so I was like, there's just no, like, none of you are really doing the thing that you say that we should be doing. Like, none of you are practicing servant leadership. It's none of you are you're just not working for us. You're expecting me to work for you, but you're not doing anything. And like, if I felt supported in my roles, then that would be one thing. I feel like having support in my roles is such a key thing to keep me invested. And when I don't feel that, I will check the fuck out. And I think that's a common thing for anybody. I think anybody should feel that way. But I was like that for like 8 or 9, yeah, like 8 years with Verizon. And I still stuck around. That's how much I enjoyed being in that toxic relationship. Because I still stuck around.
Yeah, but that, at the time, I'm sure I understand how you felt, where if you did that, you were proving you're successful. And that was what we thrived on, was the need to be accepted and show success.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also had that corporate cult mentality, which was, if you leave here, you're not going to find anything this good. And it really is just like, it's like being in a very toxic relationship. Like, if you leave me, you're never going to find anything else.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard, well, people want to leave, but, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And I said, well, that depends on your perception. If you value your happiness, grass can always be greener. I could have I could have way greener grass working management at a Staples if I'm happier.
it does not matter to me. Because if I'm enjoying my work, if I like what I'm doing and I like the company I work for, I don't really give a shit what my title is. And if I can pay the bills. But I think that was really it. It was at one point, my direct manager made a comment to one of my peers because he was such a crappy manager. And we were very open and vocal about telling him about it. And one of my peers made some comment about, like, what are you going to do when we all up and leave? And he's like, I don't think anybody's going to leave because nobody has a college degree. So you're not going to be able to find anything this good. And I was just like, oh my God, that's the takeaway. That's it.
That we're stuck here.
Yeah. And so that's what he was relying on.
People do that. They're just like, oh yeah, you would never leave because this is the best you're ever going to get. I love that. That's the perception that people lean on. That's so funny to me.
It was wild, but that was the mentality. I think there was a lot of people there who were just like, well, I mean, like, you can't leave because what else are you going to do? And you're never going to get this good of benefits. You're never going to get this good of money. And I think there are people who are still there that I know who are just sort of stuck in that. And I hate that for them. But at the same time, like,
it's also funny how management's actually really good at setting people up for failure based off their expectations, even though they're presented with something else that's not ideal for what they want, but they have this image in their head that they think they're looking through rose-colored glasses at something.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, we actually just interviewed somebody from my team the other day that our whole team's a part of the interview. And when it was over, we had a huddle and I said, I'm going to be really honest. I love her. I wish she could be on our team. And I said, the reason I don't think she's a good fit is I said, you guys are trying to look past the fact that she's not that technical and take things she said and go, oh, yeah, OK, she's going to be fine. I said, she is not the level of technical that you guys want. I know. I'm so blunt. I was like, I know that. This entire team is not technical to the level that you would prefer. I said, you hired all of us for our knowledge over our technical skills. And I know that that bothers you, that we do not have the technical skills to your level. So I don't want this person to come in and you have these expectations and kind of give them a disappointed feeling because they don't have the technical skills you want. And I was like, other than that, I would love her on our team. And we ended up not hiring, and I'm glad we didn't because I'm like, I think that's unfair to her.
Yeah. And I once interviewed this woman who, she was fresh out of high school. I mean, I think she was 18 or 19 for a sales position. And my boss and I did a co-interview with her because every now and again, my boss would sit in on these things. And she left. And my boss is like, I liked her. I thought she was great. She was really charismatic. Like, she answered the questions really well. I was like, yeah, she was. I think she would be a great candidate, but I'm not going to hire her. My boss is like, why? I was like, because she is 18 or 19 right now. She is that charismatic. She came across that well. If we hire her into this company, into this business with the expectations we are hammering on to people, we will ruin her at a very young age. And I don't want to do that to her. I want her to have good opportunities. I want her to have a chance to enjoy her life. And I will not subject her to this.
Yeah. I'm actually leaving out some details because I don't want it to be too informative on a public podcast for my private company. But
yeah. Well, no, I don't work there anymore, so, you know, different.
No, you're totally lucky. But that is a thing. It's annoying because in general, I know the feeling of wanting to escape and find something different. But it's also like, thank you for not bringing me into something that would be just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah. And I think the other part was we had our training in Little Rock, Arkansas, and that's where we sent all of our new hires, and they'd be there for like 2 or 3 weeks at least. And she had never been out of the state before. So she was asking if her dad could take her. And I was like, yeah, of course he could. Like, I don't mind. It's not going to hurt my feelings, but like, come on. I know what we put people through here. I know the expectations that you hammer down on people. I try my best to hold a lot of that back and try to change the message that you're giving me into something that's positive. But even then, the expectation is still the expectation. Like, the numbers you're asking for aren't going to change no matter how positive I try to be about it. And so I'm not going to do that to somebody. I'm not going to sit here and just give them this horrible, like, perception of adult life.
Yeah.
Even though it's, you know,
And I definitely yanked those rose-colored glasses out of the room. I was like, I think it's unfair. Now, if we hire her, I don't think it's a bad choice. I would prefer someone like that that we can mold into what we want.
Yep. Corporate America, am I right?
Oh, man. Welcome to life, guys.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.